So I love to read. I really enjoy good literature. And the weird thing is, as a pastor, one particular subgenre I love are books that have ministers as main characters. Now, there's not a lot of those books, and it's really unfortunate because if you love books that have ministers as main characters, there's one thing that you'll probably notice very quickly is that ministers are often the villains in stories. It's like they're always like the hypocritical evil person. Not in every one of those books, there's a couple of better ones, but in a lot of them there are. And one of those books, which happens to be a book with a minister as a main character, and he happens to be a villain, is the great work, which I think, has anyone ever read The Scarlet Letter, Nathaniel Hawthorne? Say, read. Okay, a few people have read it. Okay. All right, so I'll explain. You probably know the plot, at least the Hollywood version of the plot, which isn't a great representation of it, but you probably know it anyway. So this is the story of Hester Prynne. Hester's a lady's name. Hester Prynne is a woman in late 16th century, early 1700s in Puritan New England, who is found pregnant out of wedlock. And the opening scene of the book, which is this dramatic scene, which has the ministers sitting in judgment against Hester Prynne, and they judge her guilty of adultery. And so she, as punishment, has to wear a red A prominently displayed on her garments for all to see, obviously meaning A for adulterer, so that wherever she went and whatever she did, she would carry her shame with her. So the picture of the ministers sitting in judgment over this poor woman is kind of the definitive picture of the plot. Now, that might be what people remember, but that isn't the whole story. All right, turn the page, and we will get back to that. First, we're going to look at Scripture. First, we're going to pray. Lord God, as we open your word and look in it for truth, I pray that you would guide us by your Spirit to be led to your truth, that we would know what you are saying, that we would hear your message and be made alive by it with clarity and power so that our lives would be changed in due measure. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. This is one of the more difficult to understand passages that we are going to look at in the Gospel of Luke. And so I want to take time for you to see what is here. So we're going to really dig down into these three verses in pretty granular detail. So this is a little bit more digging than we're used to. I'm not just laying things out on a platter. We're going to dive in and really get into the weeds in this text. But the first thing we're going to do, first thing you should do with any text, is to read it carefully. So we're going to read this. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. All right, so this is a Bible verse, and we just read it, and we're just like, what exactly is it saying here? It's a little bit when I talked about the parable of the soils last week, and I was like, you know, if we didn't have Jesus' explanation of this, it would be hard to understand. And here we have a verse where we don't have Jesus' explanation of it, and maybe it's a little difficult to understand, but I think there's enough here to make this clear, and I'm going to take you through it. First of all, we need to be very careful about how we understand each word. and each sentence, because words and sentences are important to be understood in context of how they say. If I say a word like fire, what did I mean? Now, I might have meant, there's a fire, and we should all run outside right now, carefully keeping social distance, because, you know, we wouldn't want to get COVID while we're running for our lives from the fire. I could be talking about, you know, a firing squad shooting a gun. I could be, you know, someone might need some new employment pretty soon. Someone could be getting fired. Or I could be talking about lighting a fire. Or I might be talking on the basketball court about somebody who's particularly on fire when he's shooting. So you don't know until you get the context. So you get things like this. All right, this is a verse, and D.A. Carson, in his amazing book, Exegetical Fallacies, it's an awesome book. If you ever want to do a Bible study, please, you know, ask me and I will lend this book to you. You just got to bring it back because it's one of my favorites. So he tells the story of looking at one of those, you know, those 365 inspirational verses. It's like a flip calendar of inspirational verses. And so he comes to someone's house and he sees this verse up on the wall, and it says, and he said to them, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. And it sounds kind of fun and inspirational. You're thinking, you know, it's if we worship God, we're going to get all things, which in a way is true. Yet, if you don't know the context of this, you could be really led astray, because this is Satan. I got to remember that the text doesn't show up awesome. This is Satan speaking those words. And so if you're looking at this inspirational calendar, it's not an inspirational statement. This is a lie from the pit of hell. And so when we read the Bible, we need to see how the verses go together. Be suspicious of pastors that just tend to quote off like one verse here, one verse there, because you can kind of build a case for things without really getting into what the meaning actually is. So, I know. I should always see, this is why, long story, but someone hid the thing here, so I wasn't able to test this out today. But anyways, if you're reading your Bibles, all the parts that look really hard to read, those are the important parts. So, these verses are connected together in important ways. It has three parts, maybe four. The first is just the parable. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar, puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. And then four. And so the four is building off of this statement. This is important because nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor, which is a parallel statement of four, is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. Take care then, so then's the next important word, because of all this is true, then take care how you hear. Take care how you hear. It's actually a really cool statement in Greek. In Greek, it's see how hear, see how you hear. It's very like a terse statement, but you can't translate in English very well. For the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even when he thinks he has taken away. So we can see that these verses are connected. It's building off of this one idea, but we still don't know what this one idea about the light and the lampstand is really getting to. And so we need to see this in context of the whole text. Yeah, I need to use a lighter color. It shows up on my screen really well. So, yeah. Turn the lights down. Dim the lights a bit. The pointy lights, the ones that look on me. And there. Ah, okay. Okay, now I'm not going to show up on the camera very well at all. You just going to listen, but everyone here will be able to see the screen. There's lots more people here than online. So, okay. So, Your Bible probably looks a little like this. When you're looking down in your Bible, if you have a real cool Bible, like the analog version, and it's going along, and then it has a subheading, a lamp under a jar. Now, in the original, there are no subheadings. I know they look really cool in the Bible, but the subheadings are what the editors put in to try to help you, and they mostly do help you, but in some cases, like this, they're really not helping you because you're thinking, this is a break, this is a new section, but when in reality, Jesus keeps talking after he explains the parable of the soils. This is a continuation. In fact, in the original, this is a papyrus. This is a papyrus from about 100 years after the writing of the New Testament of 2 Corinthians. And you will notice there are no subject headings. In fact, there aren't even really spaces between the words. And so all of these spaces are sort of later artifacts. So when we read, we should understand that this has to be understood according to what was just said by Jesus. So, summary of what we just talked about last week is that the parable of the soils, and in the parable of the soils, when Jesus is explaining it, his big point is the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God, and the parable is about how the word of God is received. Believing in the word saves you, but the word, as it has been being received, can kind of go awry in different ways. It can fall on the path, it can get choked by weeds. And so this word that goes forth that is heard by many people is not always taken to heart. Yeah. In the same way that the word can be heard and taken to heart, maybe here, you know, the word, something is going awry, and we're supposed to learn something about how we believe here. Okay, so, you know, this is too small. Next time, I'm going to make things bigger. All right, we're still working on this. Connections. So, connections between the two verses. One, in the parable of the soils, we have all of these words about hearing. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And now in our current verse about the lamp, we have take care how you hear. And in both cases, I think we're talking about there's a difference between hearing and really understanding. Second, there's the seeing. Seeing, they may not see. So in the first is that they see this, but they don't really see. And the second, all who enter by the light, when it's put on a stand, can see the light. In both of these cases, they see but not really see and hear but not really hear. Third, there's a connection of secrets in both these passages. So we have the secret of the kingdom of God is given to the disciples, and here we have nothing secret will not come to light. Third or fourth, there's the taking away. The seed that falls in the path, the devil takes away from their hearts. And in this passage, we have the one who has not, that will be taken away from him. So we have this taking away. And fifth, there's the getting more. Those who hold fast to the word, where the word does the work, where it bears fruit so they get more. Those who have the light are going to get even more. The one who has more will be given. So we can see in all of these cases that there are really close parallels. And so it stands to reason that Jesus is continuing on with his argument and talking more about how we hear the word of God, how we hear the word of God. Next is, and this is my general rule, somebody comes to me and they're like, Pastor, I really don't understand this passage. And usually what I say first is, keep reading, okay? Keep reading. Because generally when you keep reading, you're going to find more. And so if we're still a little baffled by this passage, we want to keep reading and go on because the next passage is much more clear. This is crystal clear. Luke 8:19. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." And so in all three of these cases, in the parable of soils, parable of the lamp, and now in this story, this is talking about hearing, but not everybody just hears the right way. There are those who hear but don't hear, and those who hear and do it. Now, this is a really cool passage, and one that, so if you're familiar with Catholic commentators, they have to do like backflips on this verse, because this verse says Jesus' brothers and mother came to him, and they hold to the perpetual virginity of Mary, and if Mary is perpetually a virgin, Jesus can't really have any brothers. So they do some backflips and say, you know, brothers could mean cousin. Now, it can, but there are things that are possible but not likely. In this context, it does not seem likely. Or they're Joseph's brothers from another marriage that's never really talked about, and that's possible as well, but I don't think it's likely. And the main reason here is that there is a promise given here, and it's a very important promise, is that, behold, my mothers and my brothers are those who hear and do the word of God. Jesus is not just promising for those who hear the correct way, hear and do, that we are going to be some distant cousin of Jesus or some stepbrother of Jesus. But the fact is that when we hear, we respond to the word of God correctly, we are adopted into the family of God, united with him, brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and children of Jesus Christ, intimately into his family. And so when we read this, this is the great promise. Now we're going to get to the warning. This is the great promise for those who hear, but not only hear, but respond to Jesus' word with faith and belief that they might be saved, that they are intimately adopted into the family of God, which is an awesome, awesome gift for all of us to consider, especially those who maybe don't have earthly families that are intact and things that feel like they're falling apart. But if we hear and respond to God's word, we are adopted into his family. All right, now we can pull back the curtain. Did I just turn my thing off? Aha. Oh, I used a different color here. I really should have used this the whole time. Yep. So, verse 1, or verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter might see the light. And I think here, looking at the context, we can see that Jesus, in continuity, where he was talking about the word is like a seed that can go in good places and can go in bad places, where it either grows or smothered. Here, the word is also like a lamp. Now, lamps, you know, we just turn, we flip on the light, and we're like, oh, there's light, and we don't even think about how much it costs. Lamps in those times were expensive to run, probably about 100,000 times more expensive to run an old-fashioned lamp than a LED light bulb. So it's very expensive. And so lighting that lamp and then putting it under bed is not just bad, it's also foolish. In the same way, the word is like a light, is like a lamp that can either be placed in the right place so it gives light to everything, that is, hearing the word and doing it, or it can be misused, put underneath something, and ignored in such a way that it is not fruitful. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Now, as it reads this, and we continue on, and we talked about, and it says, to the one who has more will be given. To the one who has not, even that which will be taken away. And so this is looking to a future time in which secrets will be revealed. Now, I told you there's a blessing of the family, and this is the warning. The warning is those people who can take the light, hear the word, but then hide it in such a way so that the word is unfruitful. And this gets to the big truth, is that we will face judgment for every secret we keep. There is nothing that we do, nothing that we think, nothing that we set apart that will not come to light eventually. So then, take care how you hear. And this gets to take care how you hear. And so Jesus is saying these, take care how you hear. And just like those on the rocky soil and those on the weedy soil, they can hear the word, but it's not quite fruitful because they're not hearing the same way. In the same way, we can live secret lives. We can live part of our life as a Christian, part of our life just sort of over here on the side. And Jesus is warning us, take care, because all of that is going to come to light when you stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. So we must pay attention to God's word. Jesus finishes, for to the one who has, more will be given. And this is talking about judgment. So if you truly have the word, if it's growing in you, that light's on a lampstand, not only do you have that good, but more is going to be given. You're going to have your adoption, part of the family of God, and all of the treasures, all things are yours through Jesus Christ. But to the one who has not, to the one who doesn't really have the light on the lampstand, it's hidden away, and it's even what he thinks he has. That's the terrifying thing. So it's even what he thinks he has, and this is a person who thinks they have the light. They think they have the word. They think it's all good, but that thing that he thinks he has is gone. It's going to go away. It's not really rare. And the terrifying thing is this is speaking to people in the church who think that they are saved by Jesus Christ, who think that they have the word, but they are just hearers of the word. They aren't doers of the word. And so they will face judgment and condemnation on the last day. Now that's a scary thing. It's supposed to be scary. Like Jesus is not saying this to be like, hey, everybody, you're all good. Buddy Jesus here. He's like, some of you here think that you're okay and you're not okay. And so he tells this to us, even me, wake up, pay attention. Now, back to Hester Prynne and the Scarlet Letter. And we have this picture of this book as this, you know, these ministers up on their thing judging Hester Prynne, and she's the unfortunate outcast one. But if you read the book, she is not the unfortunate one. She wears that scarlet letter. She goes back to her humble existence. She raises this child as kind of an outcast, and yet she goes about her days, humble sewing business, poor, and yet she goes from that point to live a godly life. And year by year, day by day, people see her good works, and they start to appreciate her. In fact, it says later on in the book, people see her A as kind of a badge of honor, because she has made it honorable by her life. Now, on the other hand, what we didn't see in that first scene was as those ministers sat in judgment around Hester Prynne. I keep calling her Helen, but she's Hester. Hester Prynne, the minister from her church, Arthur Dimmesdale, he was the father of the child. He actually sat in the judgment seat above her, all while she was keeping his secret. And now you may have thought at the beginning of the book, be like, he's the lucky one. He was not exposed. He was not condemned. He was not publicly shamed. And yet, as the years went by and Hester Prynne goodness showed more and more. Her public shame was actually freedom for her. Day by day, year by year, the shame and secrecy that Arthur lived with slowly ate away at him till he got sicker and sicker. His doctor thought that he was dying. And then in the main revelation of the story, when he is at the end of his rope and ready to kill himself, it is revealed under his black vestments that he has a scarlet A carved into his own chest, as year by year the guilt ate at him for such great measure. Now, I kind of love this story reading it, because it's like, this is like the story if I'm like a bad minister. I'm like, this is like the bad side. And it's the story of how hidden sin will eventually destroy you. And even if you manage to survive all of this life carrying this around, comes to every secret will be revealed, just Jesus tells us. There are many people who have successfully lived a double life for a very long time, and yet they need to know that every secret will be revealed. And it gets back to the parable of the soils, the cares and riches and pleasures of life that can grow up as weeds underneath, and yet every secret will be revealed. You know, scandal in the church doesn't happen when people are open and honest. People come and confess. It happens when people are covering things up for years and years. There's nothing secret that will not be revealed. Everyone comes and everyone looks so good on Sunday morning, and yet in every place there are many things that go on behind closed doors. We must remember that every secret will be revealed. Sexual sin and abuse will be revealed. I think about a person I know, and they were sexually abused as a child, ended up never got out in the open for anything, and how that has hurt in so many ways. But that person will stand before God. They will do justice. Even in other things, anger, slander, gossip. Yeah, write mean things about somebody online. Can do so in some anonymity, but every secret will be revealed. Abusing your wife and your kids, every secret will be revealed. And we as a church have the responsibility not just to put our own lampstand on there, but put it up so that everyone can walk by the light. So that we can be open and honest about every sin, because while there is judgment and terror for those who live in the secrecy like Arthur Dimmesdale, there is hope and freedom for everyone in Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all sins. Because sometimes Christians get mocked when we're like, you know, Ted Bundy has a deathbed confession. He killed all these people. He is saved. It's because confessed sin leads to forgiveness. Let us be people who know that Jesus died for sins, so that we can repent and be forgiven, strive for a life of holiness, and claim the precious promise that in being hearers and doers of the word, we are brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children of God and all the preciousness that that entails. Amen.